So a little bit of a fun story. I've formed, I don't know, 5 or 6 companies now, LLCs, all of them. Some here in Illinois, Chicagoland, some of them in Delaware, some of them in Las Vegas. Don't ask. I don't really know why I did that one. But the big problem was is that I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was learning by LegalZoom, and it turns out their free consultation actually, well, one, it's not free. That's something that they should probably tell you. And the other thing is it's really not consultation. So what ended up happening is I have multiple LLCs floating around, and I didn't realize that I have to close some of them out. And so I've got like bank accounts and things that are open and can't be opened and all kinds of trouble that I have to refer to a lawyer to actually fix, because I don't have the time and I certainly don't want to pay all kinds of extra fees that I don't need to, and a lawyer can help me do that. So what I did was I brought in that such lawyer, a lawyer who helps startup companies and tech companies and even up to Fortune 500 form and frame their business. Joining us is Trish Meyer, Meyer Law. I'm Scott Catoon. This is Technori Live. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to finally have you in there. We mentioned this before the show. It's taken about a year to get this to happen.
Right.
I'm not even sure why. I mean, I've seen you like 50 times at 1871, but I just don't. I should just strap a mic on it. I should have just done the show in the hallway.
I think it's our crazy schedules.
That could be part of it. It could be part of it. Howard is not, Howard at 1871 is not so keen on us doing video in the hallway, as it turns out. Right. So maybe that would have been a problem as well. What is Meyer Law? What was the main reason that you decided to, well, I'm not going to ask why you decided to become a lawyer, because we don't know if we have time for that. But Meyer Law, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we help entrepreneurs and technology companies from startups all the way up to Fortune 500s with essentially the legal framework of their business. So what that means is contracts, corporate, protection of intellectual property, fundraising, and employment. So kind of everything to make sure that they're starting up and scaling on a firm foundation.
So one of the questions, this is funny that you mentioned that, that stuck out in the statement to me is IP, one. The trademarks and patents thing. I don't know how many entrepreneurs I've either had on the show or I've consulted with or I've worked with or advised or whatever. And they're always saying like, oh, you know, I've got to get a trademark. I got to get this. I got to get a patent. And they like don't even have like, you know, it's like they're so early on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend to them? Do you say like you should patent and trademark everything immediately, but you only have like 5,000, you know, 5,000 bucks in the bank account. That's all you got. You're going to spend that $600 to get that done? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I think you need to research what's been done before to see if you have any chance of even succeeding.
Yeah.
And if you look like you got a shot, you know, for a patent, I wouldn't say blow $20,000 on a brand new idea, but maybe file for the provisional patent, which is less costly. And that gives you kind of a 1-year placeholder. As far as the trademark goes, if you really love your name or your logo or your tagline, I would say go ahead and file it. If you're willing to wait, you can put the little TM after it. You just can't use the R with the circle, but you can immediately go out there today and use the TM, and that kind of puts the world on notice that
you're
protecting.
Should we trademark Technori? I don't know if that's...
You could. You could.
Actually, I hope it's
and we can help you with that.
That would be great. If Seth didn't trademark Technori, then we got to have a conversation. So, how many clients are you dealing with right now in the startup space?
A lot. We have helped over 600 clients so far. We're pretty heavy on the startup side, and then we also have some Fortune 500. So we're a good fit for the startups because we're really entrepreneurial. We're super transparent. We do a ton on fixed fee, which is very different from many other law firms.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, and then with the large companies, pre-starting the firm, I worked for all large corporations where I know kind of their internal workings, their red tape, and how long it takes things to get done. So it kind of makes us a good fit for kind of either end of the spectrum.
So I guess, I mean, give us a little bit of a background on yourself. You mentioned you work for large corps and stuff. Why did you become a lawyer?
Yeah. So, well, the reason why I became a lawyer is not why I'm a lawyer now.
Okay. Good.
I I went to law school to go into med mal or products liability, and I wanted to be a litigator. But then when I got out of law school, I had 2 job offers, one making substantially less than the other one. And the one that was making substantially less was for the litigation job. I came out with a ton of loans, and I also had an offer at a software company. So I figured, well, I'm just going to take this. It sounds kind of interesting. It mixes business and legal. Maybe I'll like it. Yeah. I ended up really liking it, which is great because now looking back, if I was in med mal or products liability and dealing with litigators, I would hate it.
Yeah.
So just to be able to help people with building their business and their dreams, it's awesome. I love what I do every day.
That's awesome. What I guess would be the main thing that you would tell if you entrepreneurs are listening to the show, other than call you or tweet you or email you, what is the first thing you would tell them when they've got an idea and they want to start a business?
I would say go out there and try to vet it. Make sure that it is something that's viable. And then get yourself set up, obviously, properly from a legal standpoint. If you have partners, make sure you're getting founders agreements.
So that's the thing. Like, I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge that, I mean, I certainly did. It was learning on the fly. I wasn't, you know, you go to, the funny thing is you go to like business schools and you go to grad schools and they don't actually teach you any of this stuff. It's like, it's the dumbest thing, really. They teach you all the stuff that's like theoretical and completely not applicable to anything. And then you come out and you start a business, you're like, I've got to go buy books on stuff we probably should have learned when I was paying for it. It's a challenge. I don't think people know like what is the first step in forming a founder's agreement.
Yeah, I agree. You don't know what you don't know. And so what we do is we will provide a roadmap. So we'll meet with a company and we'll provide them a roadmap of what they need not only now, but in the future so they can budget and plan for it, which is really important.
Because
again, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know even what you need. And so at least from a legal standpoint, we have a really good process in place to kind of get people in the know of what they need to protect their company.
Obviously, as you mentioned, you're on a fee base, which is very different from what, you know, the normal law firms are operating at. And again, as you know, startups are all on a shoestring. So if I were to come to you and say, you know, like roughly what is a budget if I need to be able to work with you and say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've got three people. We're probably going to fight over who owns what percentage of what.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need some guidance on this. Like you said, the roadmap. I need the roadmap.
Yeah. So it really ranges, and I hate giving that answer, but it does. So we just helped one company. All they needed
Well, it has to range. There's a million different things. I mean, this can go in a million directions.
Right, right.
So we're just saying just basic. Like, I don't know anything. You're not even representing. You don't have to do anything. I just want to know, like, I'm trying to set it up so that people can find you and find it feasible for them to be able to learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And so we break out all those costs. It depends on, you know, how many founders they have for a founder's agreement. If we're dealing with six founders, it's very different than just two.
Yep.
But we have complex pricing. We have simple pricing. So, you know, we kind of put that in front of everybody before we even start moving on things just to make sure everyone's okay with it.
Yep.
But it could range from, you know, a couple thousand dollars to $10,000, $15,000, depending on what's needed.
But still fairly reasonable because, I mean, some of the costs that I've incurred in legal fees are well exceeding that, as it turns out. And I would argue that there wasn't that much work that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would kind of like to give a couple of, like, give you an opportunity to give some advice just overall to speak on what Meyer Law is able to do and, like, what you would recommend to all of these businesses as far as practice going forward, just overall things.
Yeah, I think
contracts in particular. I think that's a big piece that people think that you can just, like, rip a contract from somebody else and change the name on it.
Oh, right.
And then they hand it out to you and you're like, well, like, I've seen multiple contracts come through that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I signed this before. It's somebody else's. And they don't realize that, you know, the provisions
don't even match their business.
Yeah.
Right.
And
people love the word boilerplate. They're like, oh, do you have a boilerplate? And it's like, well, no, because I would be doing you a disservice if I handed you a boilerplate.
Yeah.
Like, the contracts do really need to be tailored to your business for best protection. And different businesses have different risks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there might be language that you don't want to include in there because you're okay with the risk. And that's fine. But at least go into it with your eyes wide open. And then from an ownership standpoint, so often we see people will have their cousin or their friend or whatever develop a product for them. But what they don't know is that the default under the law is whoever creates it owns it. And so their cousin or their brother or whomever owns that actually then, unless there's a contract saying that they're transferring the rights over. So again, contracts very important and just making sure that you really do own what you think you own.
I think that is, I would love to find some companies that have had that actually happen to them and have them come on and talk about it. Because it's
it
blows my mind how hard entrepreneurs will work for something and how much time and how much money they will not make while they're working, you know, their butts off to try to get this off the ground. And yet the simplest, most obvious protective measures, they don't even read them. They don't read the fine print. They don't read the contracts. The provisions are literally a waste of time. The provisions in some of the contracts I've signed, I laugh while I sign them. Like, this is awesome. I can do whatever I want. Because that is not applicable to your company in any way. This is not defensible in any way.
Right. And I feel like people hesitate because they don't want to reach out to law firms or lawyers. You know, they hear these horror stories or disaster stories.
I don't help with that because I see all kinds of terrible stories.
Right.
And not about you, though.
I hope not about me. but yeah, no, I mean, we see disasters all the time. So I think it's just really important to build that relationship early on before you necessarily even need that lawyer, just so that you have somebody to go to when you need it.
I think that's very good advice. Where do people go to get in touch with you and to be able to participate in this roadmap?
Yeah, so you can check out our website at meetmeyerlaw.com. We did launch a new website 2 months ago, so now we have a Founders Corner where you can request a roadmap, you can purchase packages, fixed fee packages online. We have blogs. I host a Startup Stories show, so we have all of those interviews on there. lots of good stuff for founders to kind of
and
get
you,
their business moving.
You're at 1871, right?
All the time.
So you've, do you do the workshops and things there?
Pretty sure.
We do. I was going to say, talk a little bit about that.
So I love 1871. I think it's a great space to work in and be a part of. I think the mentors there are amazing. I think they do a really good job. So I've been involved with 1871 since the beginning. We offer office hours twice a month and workshops every month. So we meet a lot of people there and help a lot of companies.
When's the next workshop? And
the next, we just had one last week.
So next week?
Last week we had one. I don't know when the next one is. I want to say it's actually at the end of September, end of August.
End of August. Okay. Of August. Well, people should look out for that. Mm-hmm. And people should look out for you.
Yes.
Because I think you guys are doing great things.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Keynote has been announced. As mentioned in the previous show, Coco Mears, she's the founder of Pretty Quick, and that company was sold to Groupon in June of 2015, which is pretty amazing. A Chicago startup goes to a Chicago startup. Tickets for this July showcase are held at Chase Auditorium on Tuesday, July 26th, are still available at technori.com. You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes. And please stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.